Welcome back to Techonomics. I am your host, Jason Middleton. For this segment, we examine the question, is Yahoo a cautionary tale for Apple, maybe even Amazon? Once valued at $128 billion, Yahoo sold to Verizon for just north of $5 billion. Now, let's time travel back to the 90s when Steve Jobs rejoined a moribund Apple and how he turned it around. Jobs embodied iterate or die. He invented three entirely new product categories, and now Apple is the most valuable company on the planet. How do Yahoo, Apple, and Amazon tie together? Well, we spoke with a tech columnist and commentator.
Kevin Maney, technology columnist for Newsweek.
You've kind of picked off some low-hanging fruit in a way, but in other ways, it's kind of a new angle on a lot of things. We're talking about Yahoo, Apple, some of these value companies now that used to be growth companies. We went from startup to sale. So let's focus in first on your take on Yahoo. I mean, Yahoo was an innovator, and now it's just a patent holder.
I guess so. But I focus on these three because there were events, big events in all three of their existences just in these past few weeks. So Yahoo, of course, is getting sold to Verizon for $5 billion, and that's not much. And in fact, that $5 billion is pretty generous considering where Yahoo is with the businesses that it still owns. And yes, if you go back, there's probably a generation that doesn't even really remember this, but when the web first sort of appeared, and it was this confusing, crazy place that, you know, had no easy way to sort of navigate and enter into it, Yahoo was really the first company that created this guide to the, you know, this new thing called the Internet. And as it grew up, it created a new kind of category of business that was called the web portal and technology.
It helped fill that market balloon up that subsequently, you know, burst.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and it was, you know, and Yahoo was in fact that thing that sort of guided people to all of these pets.coms and other things that just blew up in that era. At the height in the late 1990s, Yahoo was worth $128 billion.
Wow.
You know, many, many times what it just sold for. So this was a new category. It was a powerful new category. Yahoo completely dominated it. Other companies tried to get in, like Excite and AOL, and do the same thing, but, you know, they never matched Yahoo's power in this category. And this is why, as the web started to organize itself, and Google came around and Google made it a different kind of way to get it so where we could go exactly where we wanted instead of needing this guide that sort of like somehow we looked at it and found or, you know, where we were trying to go. And Google sort of depositioned Yahoo, and this category of web portal became less and less important over time. And so Yahoo also became less and less important over time.
I'm no fan of Yahoo management over the last 10 years, but I have to say, if you're going to manage a decline, Yahoo's been doing it for 15 years, and, you know, they still sold for five, so it's not a total loss, right?
But what we did was, when Marissa Mayer was brought in to run Yahoo, what we did was we expected her to do that again. That's what it was. So she promised. That was what, like, people at Yahoo thought was going to happen. We expected her to create an entirely new, and this is what Yahoo would have had to do to return to its former glory, is create an entirely new category again and have it be as big and important as web portals were in the 1990s for Marissa Mayer to essentially do what we expected her to do. And as it turns out, that in itself is really an impossible task because very, very few companies ever create and then dominate a big, important new category. And to think that she was going to come in and do that again at Yahoo was kind of a ridiculous expectation.
It was, and investors made her pay for that, too. I don't think she'll probably stay on much longer, I wouldn't think, with Yahoo after this sale. But back to your column this week in Newsweek, one of the things that I really pull out is this one sentence, Yahoo is our past, though it may foreshadow Apple's future. Help me unpack that.
Sure. Well, consider everything that I was just saying about creating this new category, which is what creates gigantic, important new businesses. So go through Apple's story. You know, when Steve Jobs came back, at that point in time, Apple was pretty much a dead company. And Steve Jobs did something that actually is absolutely miraculous in American business history. And that is, he came in and at Apple, he created three important new categories. The first was the iTunes, iPod, digital music category, which Apple essentially created out of thin air and completely dominated. And that set it on its way. And then the big one was it created the iPhone, essentially created the smartphone and apps, that whole business. And the category creator completely dominated it, still does. And then the iPad, which is a little bit lesser category, but still another new category of business. Jobs did this three times, and that's what made Apple the most valuable company on earth, because that never happens.
Right.
And so here we have Tim Cook taking over from Steve Jobs. And what we're essentially expecting of Tim Cook to keep that Apple machine going and keep it doing what it's been doing is to, again, do that, to create important, gigantic new categories of business, which only somebody as extraordinary as Steve Jobs can do.
Right.
And so essentially what we're doing is we're setting Tim Cook up for the exact same expectations and the exact same ride that we set up Marissa Mayer for.
Kevin, here's what I think about this, because this is a fun topic for me. Tim Cook is an operator. He was COO, right? He's scale. He is emerging markets. He's not an innovator. He doesn't play the symphony like Steve Jobs did. So why did Steve leave this company to him?
See, that's actually an interesting dynamic. In fact, I mentioned in the column, this book that we just did called Play Bigger, there's an aspect of this that we examine in the book, because this book is all about category creation. As it turns out, throughout history, all the great category creators always leave their companies to an operator. And I think there's two reasons for that. One is, just instinctively, great category creators don't really leave room for other great category creators in the company. So if they are there, they probably left.
I can see that. Steve was good at driving out talent, too.
Right. And nobody was going to be his category creator, you know, number two at Apple. I mean, he just didn't work that way, right? He didn't do it that way. So they would have left, first of all. And then the second thing that happens is there's sort of a sense, well, great category creators, for one thing, are usually bad operators. So they need an operator to be their number two. Mm-hmm. And realistically, when a business passes from a great category creator to the next person really should be a great operator, because the company is not likely to create new categories. And so what you want to do is milk everything you can out of that those existing categories, which you can do for decades. I mean, IBM created the category of mainframe computers in the 1960s and passed the company to a series of operator CEOs. And just on that momentum, dominated that category and eked billions and billions of dollars of, you know, revenue and profits out of it for 30 years. And Apple could also do that, but to expect that it's going to create these gigantic new categories again under someone like Tim Cook is a false expectation.
We're speaking with Kevin Maney. He's the tech columnist at Newsweek and also a co-author of Play Bigger, How Pirates, Dreamers, and Innovators Create and Dominate Markets. Now, before we pivot to Amazon, because I got to get there, bearish or bullish on Apple over the next 12 months?
Next 12 months is hard to say, because it does have that momentum of these categories that are already created, and that's not where the rubber is going to hit the road. But you go beyond 12 months, and I would say bearish.
Okay, fair enough. Let's pivot to Amazon, because it's created a category for itself with its web services, it seems like. And, you know, Bezos ran this company at razor-thin margins for a long, long time, always being growth, growth, growth. Now they're more value, 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 but you're saying that maybe they've pivoted into the right space. Am I reading that correctly?
And I wouldn't even call it pivoted. That's almost the wrong word. They've created something entirely new and different that wasn't even part of their original business. And I would say, if there's any company out there and any leader who has inherited that category creation gene from Steve Jobs, it's Jeff Bezos at Amazon. And he's proven that now, because here with Amazon, this company that created and dominated this category of online retail, did it very well. If they had never done anything but that, if that's all they were at this point in time, they would be a super powerful, interesting company, but they would be kind of milking that category. It wouldn't be the excitement that's around Amazon right now.
Mm-hmm.
Because what happened was, about 10 years ago, they created this thing called Amazon Web Services. It really, you know, knowing what they were creating, I don't think at the time. But it has become, you know, the dominant cloud services company out there. And it's now 40% of Amazon's profits for this past quarter, and it's growing at like something like 72% year over year. I mean, this is a gigantic and important new category and a complete second life for Amazon.com. And that's really unusual, and that's what's driving the business today. And on top of that, there's some beginning rumblings starting to dominate and then create an entirely new category around this Alexa service, and essentially consumer artificial intelligence in the cloud. And if it does that, then, you know, you really are looking at the next Apple is what, you know, Amazon is.
And I remain bullish on Amazon. And full disclosure, we do have a partnership with Amazon's Echo because we use it in studio for the show sometimes. So the category, it's almost like mission creep, except it's good mission creep if you're an investor for Amazon.
There is mission creep, and I don't think this is it. I think this is more like when Steve Jobs created the iPhone, Apple was a laptop company. Mm-hmm. It was a computer company. Mm-hmm. And the iPhone turned out, as we all can look back now, it's not an extension or like some sort of fringe permission creep thing out of the laptop computer. It is an entirely new category of business that took Apple in an entirely new direction. And that's what Amazon is doing with this stuff.
Kevin Maney, tech columnist at Newsweek and also author of, or co-author of, Play Bigger, How Pirates, Dreamers, and Innovators Create and Dominate Markets. Thanks so much for your time and expertise this morning.
Great. Thanks for having me on, Jason.
That was Kevin Maney, technology columnist at Newsweek and the co-author of Play Bigger, How Pirates, Dreamers, and Innovators Create and Dominate Markets. Okay, coming up after this short break, for-profit insurance companies are pulling out of Obamacare. Is it purely a cost thing for them, a bottom line thing, or is it more political than has been advertised? I'm Jason Middleton. This is Techonomics. Please stick around.